Today's reading is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, as Donnie said, reading from verse 13 on to chapter 2, verse 3. And the heading is, Be Holy. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, Be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just stop for a moment in peace and quiet to have a read through that passage just yourself. You've just had Trish read it, so just have a look at it yourself. See what words impact you, what hits you. All right, some of you may have finished, some may be still reading. As people come to an end, if you'd like to just, from where you are, just call out one word that impacts you from that reading. Just one word that, as you read through it, it hits you. Self-control? Holy? Purify? Action? Love sincerely, revealed, hope, word of God, spotless lamb, two more, reverently, one more, ransom. Okay, very good. Well, let's just go through it a little bit slowly now and unpack some of those things that we've just brought up and see what God would speak to us today. You may notice that all of you who are very good at English, you'll notice that it starts with a therefore. And when there is a therefore, you need to know what that therefore is there for. Okay? And so you need to go back to where it was. So the amazing thing with Peter, like you've got to remember, Peter was a fisherman. And I think he's getting some help when he writes this book, whether it's God just giving him the download and it's coming out, because it's an incredible way that he's written. At Bible College, we were taught numerous subjects on how to get up in front of people and preach. And one of the most simple things is when you get up to preach, tell them what you're going to preach about it, and then preach about it, and at the end, tell them what you just preached about. And that's just one of the simple ways that they told us. Peter is actually doing that. He says, here's one thing. And then he says, therefore, and he goes back to that. And then after he goes back to that, he comes back to it. And at the end of this chapter and into chapter 2, guess what he does? He goes, therefore, and comes back into it. he really wants to drive home the points that we're going to have a look at today. So let's go back to the first therefore. The therefore is verse 1 through to verse 12. In and amongst this, there is a great and precious salvation. There is the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ that is upon each of us that enables us to enter into the great mercy. And that great mercy brings about a new birth in each and every one of us. So that new birth gives us this great and amazing inheritance, which is our salvation, which is something so special that the prophets and the angels wanted to look into it. How's that for a quick wrap up? And some of you are sitting there, so, well, how come you preached on that for 25 minutes last week and you couldn't just say it in 1 minute like you just did then? That's because I've re-looked at my sermon and condensed it. So if you want to grab hold of a sentence for today, it is this. Peter calls us to action, to live out our lives in holiness and purpose. Action, holiness, and purpose. So let's have a look at the how and the why. Peter says, therefore, with minds that are alert and sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. At his coming. So therefore, prepare your minds for action. Have your minds ready for action. What other verses are coming to mind? Is it the renewing of your mind by the power and blood of Jesus Christ? Is it having that renewal coming into your life? Is it getting rid of the stinky thinking so that you can think more on Christ? Those things are really important and they do grab hold of it. For those of you who still got the King James Version, you might have read something like, let me see if I got it, gird up the loins of your mind. And it goes back to the old picture of what they used to wear back in those days. And so if you remember some of the movies or even the kids, like, and what were those, Vonnie, the cloth things? And Sunday school teachers used to have it, and you have this cloth figure would go across and... Flannel graph, that's right. And when the teachers weren't there, us naughtier kids in the class would have Jesus walking on top of the shepherd and other people and stomping them on the head and that sort of stuff. But yeah, the flannel graphs. So we do all that sort of thing. But this grabs hold of it. They wore those big, flowery, wavy, big, costumey dresses. And it's really hard to get in and do really hard work in those big things. And so they used to grab them and fold them up. I reckon they were really... not very attractive when they did all that. Gird their loins. Get ready for action. The prodigal son story. When the father ran, guess what he did? He folded up all the cloths and got ready to run so he could run fast. And so this is about action. It's getting ready. Having your mind ready for action. It's not having your mind ready to sit back and do nothing. It's a mind ready for action. Some of the modern translators are grabbing hold of this section. And guess what they grabbed hold of? Whole week on it this week, all around our community. Mental health. To make sure that our mental health was ready. That we were prepared. That we were okay. That we hadn't let the ravages of the past come and grab us and keep pulling us back so that we're not able, we're not equipped, we're not encouraged to step out in God. So to be ready. To deal with the past. To be ready to move on. To get ready for action. And then it says to be fully sober, to have a sober mind. The Greek word here, I've got a little bit of control here, is nepheo. And it says to be free from every form of mental and spiritual drunkenness. Isn't that a good phrase? To be free from every mental and spiritual drunkenness. So in other words, not to be power mad on how good you've gotten. And how spiritual you are, or how brilliant your mind is, but to leave it all at the cross in humility, let God raise us up. To exercise that self-control, to be alert, to be ready, and to be of sober mind. Very loud and clear. He then goes into about the area where it talks about the Christ is revealed. Now, there's two variances here. One, when Christ is revealed, guess what comes to mind for many people? The second coming. When Jesus comes again, the second coming. Now, the second coming, for those who know a bit more about the second coming is closer now than it was an hour ago. It's closer today than it was yesterday. And when you go home this afternoon, it'll be closer this afternoon than it was this morning. unless he's already come. The reality is, he's on his way. He is coming. And it's closer each and every minute that passes. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Jesus is coming back. And I want you to know that, and I want you to be aware of that. And I want you to live your life as if he's coming back tomorrow. As if he's coming back tomorrow. To be ready, to be alert, to have your mind focused on what God has got us to do. Not sitting back and going, well, he hasn't come back in 2,000 years. Maybe we've got a bit more time. He told parables about people who did that. And guess what? They ran out of oil. They weren't ready. And when he came back, they got caught by surprise and they went, no fair, no fair, God. That wasn't fair. And God went, rubbish. I told you I was coming. You weren't ready. Be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for action. The second one is the revelation of Jesus Christ when he's revealed to us. When we get to meet Jesus, when we get that revelation, that personal revelation, or when we share that personal revelation with someone else, can you remember the time or a time, hopefully it wasn't long ago, that you got to reveal through the power of the Holy Spirit working through you the love of God into someone else's life? Where they got that moment where they went, ah, Jesus, okay, I get it. How do I follow Jesus? And you've been the one that's in amongst that. That revelation has been revealed to them and they get it. And you're part of that plan into their lives. I want you to be ready. So both and, Jesus coming back, but both and, that your neighbours who you hang out with, your workmates who you hang out with, your family who you hang out with who don't know Jesus, but through your prayers and through your presence and even necessary through your words and actions may get to know and see Jesus revealed in their own lives. Wouldn't that be cool? How good would that be? I'd love to be run over every Sunday by people coming in and saying, hey, hey, hey. Another one's got the sense of the revelation of Jesus Christ in their lives. So the next bit goes, so obedient children. Some versions will have you must. It's a command. It's a you must do this. This is important. So as obedient children, don't go back to the old lives, your old desires. Anyone else struggle with the old life, the old desires? There are so many things back before I knew Jesus that have gone out of my life. But it seems to be, as Nat spoke yesterday, he said, the more he learns, the more he becomes a hypocrite, because the more he learns, the more stuff he knows he should be doing and he doesn't do it. So therefore the capacity to be a bigger hypocrite becomes real. Did I pronounce that pretty well? The reality is true. As I've walked with Jesus more and more, there is more stuff that I can get caught up in. Even some of the good stuff I do is something that I'm going back to an old way of thinking and not God's way of dealing with things. And it needs to be about his kingdom, not mine. And I want to pray for revelation after revelation in each one of our lives that we cannot go back to the old way of life. We can leave that behind. And we walk in the goodness and strength and power of what God has for us today and tomorrow. The old life left behind. The new birth. The new creation. Walking and working and letting the Holy Spirit work with us. Just as we saw, the standard of this world is all around us. And it says, do not be conformed to this standard. Where's that other passage? Romans 12, verse 2, where it says, do not be conformed to the standard of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul and Peter are on the same page here. They're preaching from the same script. They've got it, they understand it, and they see it as important for each and every one of us. Remember, it's tough out there. When Paul and Peter are preaching this stuff, not everyone's going, yeah, we hear that. Remember reading the book of Romans backwards? Brendan and Nat unpacked it. It was a tough time when they wrote the book of Romans. It was tough to call them out on things. It wasn't easy, just as it's not easy today to live for Jesus. But we can't let ourselves be conformed into the standard of this world. And the standard of this world is easy to be conformed to because there's millions of people rushing in one direction. And it's easy to go with that direction. It's hard to go against the flow. But God is calling us to go against the flow. To stand up for the kingdom of God, not for the kingdom of this earth. And we need to be able to stand up. And we need to not suck in all the garbage and let that confuse our thinking and understanding. But we need to let God's word. And that's why I wanted to concentrate on God's word today, that you get God's word into your life today. God's word. Through the power of His Holy Spirit, transforming our lives. Setting us apart to do something incredible. Because we're born to a new life. Not the same life in a different way. A new life. A new way of living. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Verses 15 to 16 is about be holy. Thank you very much to Avril and the team for leading us in some beautiful song. I appreciate it so much. And I appreciate all the time and energy that our creative ministry team does. I thank you, each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. Thank you. Be holy as our God is holy. Now, for those of you who are wondering where that is in the scriptures, it comes from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 to 45. Also from chapter 19, verse 2. Also chapter 20, verse 26. So the whole idea of God being a holy God is very real through the book of Leviticus. We sang that passage from the book of Revelation. Very real in the book of Revelation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And that comes from the book of Isaiah as well, which these verses came up again and again and again in our prayer meetings that we've been having on Wednesdays. We even had the Revelation song played to us. I think Sarah played it to us, if I remember correctly. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And if you delve into that, the living creatures around the throne are praying that prayer. How long? 24/7. 24/7. You want to have a prayer time this week? I'll challenge you. At the beginning of your prayer time, for 5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes. I'm a heavy hitter. 5 minutes. Just go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And say that prayer for 5 minutes. See what happens in your heart. See what happens in your spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You might get a presence come into you. You might sense a bit of that holiness of God in and around where you're at as you go into that prayer time. One of my favorites in the archives is a guy called Smith Wigglesworth. He says that he would not pray much more than an hour, but not an hour would go past other than he would pray. All right? He didn't have long prayer meetings, but he had intense ones. People would say that they would go into a prayer meeting with Smith Wigglesworth and the presence of God would come into that prayer meeting. The holiness of God would come into that prayer meeting and people would have to leave because it was so intense and so amazing. Thinking, wow, that's a Holy Spirit-driven prayer meeting. What does this holiness, what does it mean for us to be holy like God is holy? The Hebrew word is kadesh, the sphere of the holy and the sacred. So if you go into the Old Testament, you'll find that there is a holy Sabbath. There is a holy mountain, there's a holy place, there's a holy ground, there's a holy dwelling, there's a holy tabernacle, there is the holy of holies. Now, do you know any more about holy? No. You know there's some holy places and holy things. You may not have learned what is holy. So what is holy? Holy is God. He is without sin. And sin cannot enter His presence. You get it? Holy. These things are holy. The holy Sabbath, the holy mountain, because that's the mountain of God. The tabernacle, it's the tabernacle of God. The holy of holies. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees knew that the holy of holies was a holy place and that you dare not enter into that without a whole bunch of preparation because you know what could happen? You die. Boom. There's a picture of the holiness of God. And yet for us in the New Testament timeline, we are thankful for the blood shed on the cross, that sprinkling of that perfect lamb that allows us to enter into God's presence. You see the great and mysterious cost of the salvation that we have, allowing us to know this holy God. And yet God says to you and to me, be holy as I am holy. Again, He's repeating that. Get rid of the conformation of the world. Don't conform to it. Get rid of the evil desires. So again, he says it again and again and again. In verses 17 through to 24, we again get to look at our precious salvation. And I want you to understand that our salvation is something incredible and significant. It's something that cost God everything. And yet it's a free gift for you and for me. It cost Jesus his life, his death on a cross, and then his resurrection and the glorification that came following that. And because of that, we get to be purified. Because we get to obey the truth. We get to understand God's love into our lives. Because we have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God in and through our lives. Our salvation is important. It is incredible. And we have to hold on to it at a costly price. How dare we let the past come in? How dare we let sin run rampant over what is more valuable than silver and gold? What is more valuable that the angels and the prophets long to be a part of it, to see into it, to understand it? You see, this was all put together for a plan and a purpose. God's word is enduring. It goes on forever. It is eternal. I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, it says from verse 24, all people. I like this one in the NIV. One of the ones I read was all men. And it was a little bit more specific because I'm a man. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Do you like being compared to grass? Do you like being compared to a beautiful flower that we give as a precious gift? But after a while, guess what we do with those beautiful flowers? We throw them out because they lose it. Do you like to be compared to that our glory, the greatest and best that we could ever have, is just like grass, according to God? Again, the holiness of God is pretty significant in and through that. Then we go back into chapter 2 where Peter again says, therefore, and again to state it loudly and clearly, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, again, there's that new life in Christ. It keeps coming through, doesn't it? Crave the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. Isn't that cool? That you may grow up in your salvation. The idea of not growing up in our salvation is sometimes unknown of in the church. Because we go, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus back in July the 28th in 1978. I went down the front, I prayed the prayer, I gave my life to Jesus. If that's where my salvation finished, wow, that's a cheap grace. If it's just about praying a prayer and not walking in a long direction with Jesus, then what is my salvation? Is it just one single response? Is a response every day of my life? Yesterday we had a great discussion about volunteering and walking with Jesus. And I loved how it finished with the whole thing of we don't volunteer in the church. We are called to follow Jesus 24/7. Wherever we are, we're on duty for the living God. I like that. No matter what call is on our life, whether your call is a pastor, a teacher, an electrician, a milkman, a mum, a dad, a grandma, a granddad, a kid at school, a kid at uni, or whether you work for the tax department. You are called by God to follow him wherever you are. Isn't that amazing? The basic 101 Christianity, but we miss it so much of the time. We miss it so much of the time. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted the Lord is good? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? I don't know about you, but when I taste something that's good. So on holidays, Cynthia and I went up to Bagara, and we had a great time in Bagara. It was fantastic. Loved it. Excellent. We went to a place called Tinnaberry, and it was a strawberry farm. And the strawberries on this strawberry farm, oh, they were gorgeous. Like normally in our house, when I buy strawberries, they disappear within 12 hours. Cynthia just loves strawberries. And this place had strawberry ice cream. And because we're on holidays, and I'm still paying for it, I had this strawberry ice cream. Oh, oh. It will be in heaven. When we get to heaven, I will take you to the Tinnaberry strawberry ice cream stand because it will be there. It was so good. And because it was so good, guess what? I didn't just want one. I wanted more. Do you get me? Is there something that you like to eat that you've tasted and you go, oh, that is good. And you go back and get more? Do you get me? Then if you have tasted of God and he was good, then go back and get more because there's more of God. He's got more for you. He's got more for me. He's got more for us. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this incredible passage. There's so much in it. And I thank you that we had the chance to read it and to understand it a bit more. And Father, help us with this holiness aspect of what you're challenging us to be, that we might indeed live for you, Lord Jesus. Live for you 100%. I pray that we will. Help us. Empower us by your Holy Spirit, right here and right now. In your name. Amen.